Song of Solomon, chapter 6. You know, when Marvin preached, I thought of several things. But you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he touched, it never polluted him. You know, we pass our pollution on, our corruption on to our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. But our Lord Jesus Christ, even in touching us, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and though he bore our sin, he himself was not a sinner. And when he touched that leper, he took away the leprosy and did not become a leper. And he can touch us every day and is not polluted by anything he does for us. Oh, what a Savior. What a blessed, blessed Savior we have. And a sinner must have three things. And God requires them. You've got to have a priest. Can't approach God without a priest. And the priest must have a sacrifice. And he must offer it for you. And he must have an altar to put it on. And our Lord Jesus Christ is all three. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me read these first three verses here, if I can and will, and pray the Lord bless them. I guess the preacher at home is just finishing up. If I was at home, that's what I'd be, just finishing up. Now I'm just getting started. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him, or seek thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. This is my subject. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. I am my beloved's. What a blessing. What a blessing God gives a man and a woman. If he gives them someone to love, and someone loves them in return. Oh, what a blessing to have a beloved. And it's wonderful to have someone to share life with when you're younger, when you have fire, when you have zeal, and you have lots and lots of dreams for the future. Oh, what a blessing. And then middle age comes along. Middle age comes along. What a blessing. What a blessing from God to have to belong to someone and have someone you belong to. You belong to one another. You settle down. You enjoy staying home. You enjoy life together. And then old age steals on. And you get old, you need someone to watch over you, to make sure you're taken care of, that nobody mistreats you, and when you're sick, they'll take care of you and help you through your old age. And so, it's a wonderful thing to be this way. And I tell you, beloved, it's how sad it is for people to go through life and never have anyone to belong to, or you to belong to them. But I tell you something about beloved believers. They always have a beloved. Amen. They have someone that's beloved to them, and he's their beloved too, and he loves them too. They're never alone. And look what it says here in verse 6. So we're never alone. I have a beloved, and my beloved loves me. I am his, and he is mine. Ain't that what it says? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. You know, he says, where is my beloved gone? Where is he gone? And he says, oh, thou fairest of women, oh, how the church, the Lord Jesus Christ's people, they're fair to him. has come their fair. They're made perfect in his comeliness. They're complete in him. And he says, where is thy beloved turned aside? And oh, we want to go seek him. We want to go with him. We want to find him. We want to see him. He said, my beloved's gone down into his garden. And the scripture says that we are a garden enclosed, planted by the Lord, nurtured by the Lord, bring fruit forth of the Lord. Everything we do, it's his garden. We're enclosed by his blessed grace. And he's gone down to the beds of spices. He's going to make us all smell good. He's the sweet savor of Christ. And he went down to gather lilies. Lilies. And he is the lily of the valley. The rose of Sharon. And he says, and I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And he comes down and he feeds among the lilies. I want to talk about my beloved. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. When did we become Christ's beloved's? I say he's my beloved. I was his and beloved of him before time ever began. Before time ever began. You know, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I want you to look with me over in 2 Timothy. This is the verse of scripture that God used to teach me the gospel with. Right over here in 2 Timothy 1:9. This is the gospel that Christ used to teach me the gospel with right here. You know, I was his beloved, but I am my beloved's, and I was his before time ever began. You know, he says, who is he that condemneth? Who's going to condemn? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is? Who's going to lay any charge to the God's elect? It's Christ that died. Not only did he die, but he rose again. And he sits there to make intercession for us. And then it says this, well, who is he then that's going to condemn us? It's God that justifies us. So this all happened before I ever existed. And I found out about it through the preaching of the gospel, through men like this preaching the gospel. But look what he said here in 2 Timothy 1:9. This is the verse of scripture God used to teach me the gospel. Who hath saved us? Who did? God did. Hath saved us. And you know, all of salvation is always in the past tense in the scriptures. He hath done. He hath done. He hath done. It's always in the past tense. In the present tense and past tense. But look what he says here. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Bless God, he's got a purpose. And if God's got a purpose, who's going to disannul it? Who's going to turn back his head? Who can ever change him from his purpose? And I tell you what, and he gave on account of his purpose and grace. And when was this purpose and grace given to us? In Christ Jesus, before the world ever began. That just blesses my heart all over the place. I tell you what, he said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you know, before Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, said, before you was ever born, and before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, Jeremiah, I called you to be a prophet. I called you to put my words in your mouth before you ever was. You was a preacher when you was in your mama's womb. That you was. That's what God does. That's the way he does things. And oh, listen, what Paul says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. So you see, beloved, I was my beloved's before the world ever began. And oh my. And then I tell you how else I'm beloved. I'm his because the Father gave me to him. When did he give him to him? Before the world ever began. I want you to see, there's several things I'm going to take my time this morning if I can. And look over here in John's Gospel chapter 17. Look here with me for a minute. John 17, talking about being given to Christ. You quoted it this morning. All that the Father gives me. So there's a people been given to Christ. And they was given to him in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. And Christ gave us to the Father. And I tell you what, when he got me, he didn't get anything. I got everything, he got nothing. That's the way it works. Ain't that right? I got him and all that he is, and all he got was me and my feebleness and my sin. I got his righteousness, he got my sin. He got my death, I got his life. He got my disobedience, I got his obedience. But look what it said here, talking about I was given by the Father. Look what he said in verse 2, John 17. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to how many? As thou hast given him. Given me. Given him. Look what it says down verse 6. Oh, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Down in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They belong to you. Look down in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept. None of them's lost. None of them's lost except the son of perdition. And oh, look down verse 24. Oh, I love this. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be with me. Oh my. You reckon that prayer was answered? You reckon that prayer will be answered? I will that they be with me. Those that you've given me be with me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us to him. You know what we were when God gave us to him? We were like Lazarus. We was dead, corrupt. God said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. We was self-righteous like Zacchaeus. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, come down. And down we came. We was blind and born beggars. And our Lord Jesus Christ touched our eyes and says, now go and see. And oh, that's the way we was. Born in sin. And yet Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree and put it away by the sacrifice of himself. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. He says, maybe for a righteous man, a fellow might die. Maybe there's a good man out there that a fellow say, listen, it's better for me to die than this good man. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh my, while we were yet, we got him. He got us. Who got the most? Oh, I'm his, I'm my beloved. Before time began, I'm my beloved because the Father gave me to him. And I'm my beloved because I've been purchased by him. I've been redeemed by him. He bought me and he paid for me. You know, he said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, he says, know ye not, you've been bought with a price. With a price. Yeah. With a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We were redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And redemption means to pay the price for something with the intent of releasing it and letting it go. To pay the debt that was owed against it. And we were redeemed, not with corruptible things like they did under the law with silver and gold that we had to pay for redemption price to make the tabernacle. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And I'll tell you, bless his name, we were redeemed by the blood of Christ, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And when we talk about redemption, the only way in the world we could be redeemed was for the shedding of blood. Came without the shedding of blood. There's no putting away of sin. And how in the world can we be set free from sin? Redemption. How can we be set free from bondage? Redemption. How can we be set free from our corruption? Through His redemption, through His blood shedding. And when we pay for something, we expect to get it. Don't you? If you go pay for something, you expect to get it. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ paid for a people. And He's going to get every single one of them.
Amen.
Every single one. There's people that's not been born yet that Christ shed His blood for. And I can say here this morning, there's not many guarantees a man can make, but I can guarantee you this. If Christ died for them and shed His blood for them, and they ain't been born yet, they're going to hear the gospel. And they're going to believe that gospel. And that Christ's blood is going to cleanse them from all their sins. That blood is going to make them acceptable to God. That blood is going to take away everything that's against them. Because He's going to nail it to His cross. Huh? You know, Jacob loved Rachel. Loved Rachel. How long did he labor for Rachel? Year after year. You can't have her unless you do something. You can't have her unless you labor and labor and do what I tell you. Well, Jacob labored and labored and labored for Rachel. And then he gave him Leah. And he had to labor and labor and labor again for Rachel. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless His holy name, He came here and God gave Him a work. And He gave Him a people. But all those people had sin. They had corruption. They were dead. They was everything about them was against God. And our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, and to redeem them that were under the law. He was made a curse to redeem us out from under the curse of the law. And our Lord Jesus Christ came down here, and in grace and in love, He bore our sins in His own body on that tree. And when God saw that sin on Him, He treated Him the way we should have been treated. Death is our due. Christ bore our death. Hell is our due. Christ bore our hell. You know what made Him be able to do it? It's because of who He is. It's not how much blood was shed, it was whose. It's not how long He was on the cross, but who was on the cross. It's not how much sin He bore, but it's whose sin He bore. And our Lord Jesus Christ, grace, brought Him to this world. Grace caused Him to go to the cross, and love did. And God drew out His sword of justice. Oh, what a sword of justice. Rise, O sword, against my fellow. Rise, O sword, against my shepherd. Smite the shepherd. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He got Him in the garden getting ready to take Him out, He said, you seek Me? These got to go their way. And the God's sword of justice come out, and He took that sword of justice and plunged it deep, deep, deep into the heart of His blessed Son. And when He brought it out, He wiped it off and put it back in His sheath, and it'll never, never be taken out against one for whom Christ died. God gave us grace as if there was no justice, and justice as if there was no grace. We as much saved by God's justice as we was by His grace. We can face whatever life throws our way. You know why? Because there's nothing can destroy us. Death can't destroy us. Hell can't touch us. I told one fellow one time, you know, I was preaching and I said, listen, I was talking about, you know, people talk about, you know, that I said, I never was close to hell. I said, boy, so many people got down so close to hell. I said, according to the gospel, I never got in spitting distance of it. Why? Because Christ bore it for me. He said, that can't be right. He stood up and said, that can't be right. I said, well, it is. He had a PhD. You know what that is? He knows how to dig post holes. He has so many doctor's degree, he can go into 360 degrees. Thought he was so smart. Oh, the gospel confounds him. But I'm telling you, God gave us justice as if there was no grace. And he gives us grace as if there was no justice. But he does it all in his blessed Son.
Amen.
Huh? Can justice come and touch anybody for whom Christ died? When we come time, you know, the satisfaction. Christ made such satisfaction. And that he satisfied justice, he satisfied God, he satisfied holiness. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, that's why, you know what's going to comfort our dying pillow? Satisfaction. God satisfied with Christ. Never satisfied with me, but he's satisfied with Christ. I could never do nothing to any way, shape, form, or fashion make God look at me with satisfaction for anything I've ever done. But he can look at me and look at you with complete satisfaction because he don't view you as you. He views as any son. And then I tell you another way I'm his, my beloved. I'm his by conquest. He conquered me. I throwed up my hands and said, I surrender. Oh, Scott used to say, you're in a war that you can't win. Oh, listen, he conquered me. He conquered me. In fact, not only did he conquer me, but he conquered every enemy that was against me. He had conquered every enemy that was against his people. Everything that was contrary to us, everything that was against us, he took it out of the way. What did he do with it? He nailed it to his cross. Huh? Nailed it to his cross. And then he made a show over openly, just exposed them to what they are. No power, no strength, death, hell, sin, justice, righteousness. He showed. Triumphed over all of them. Oh, the battle. He fought that battle by himself. He by himself purged our sins. He by himself purged our sins and entered into glory. Isaiah 65. Oh, and he conquered us. How did he conquer us? You know how he conquered us? He conquered it by love. He conquered us by grace. He conquered us by the power of the gospel. Oh my. In the day of his power, the power of grace, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit, he made us willing. I'm his willingly. Willingly. People say, well, I wish, you know, you all talk about God does everything. He does. And I'm telling you, I wished I was almost like a robot, and everything I'd done, God could, you know, made me do it just exactly right. That way I would have to, you know, you're not puppets, but I wished I was, and the Lord Jesus Christ was controlling the strings. That's how conquered we want to be. We want to be so conquered that Christ works in us completely and entirely. But Isaiah 63, look what he said here. He said, who is that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red? Why did you become red in your apparel? Why is your garments like him that treads the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. I'll tread them in my anger. I'll trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I'll stain my raiment. For in the day of my vengeance is mine heart. The day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeem is come. That's us, stained with our blood. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. My fury upheld me. He bore it all by himself. He did it by himself. David said, told David, seek ye my face. David said, thy face, O Lord, I will seek. And I surrendered to one so gracious. He won my heart. I'm my beloved's. And I'm my beloved's by relationship. By relationship. Lots of relationships we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we're his spouse. Paul said, I've espoused you as a virgin to Christ. We've been espoused to Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're the church of Christ. And that's why David says, said, I'm just the voice here. Said, when they hear the voice of the bridegroom, said, that's when they start rejoicing. When they hear the voice of the bridegroom. And I tell you, he says, the time of the bridegroom has come. And the bride has made herself ready. And also, we're his spouse to Christ. He's the bridegroom. And we're the bride. Well, one of these days, we're going to go to that bride, that marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we're called his sons. We're a son. Born again by the Spirit of God. He says, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. And then we call us his children. We're children. And he takes care of us like children. And then he says we're members of his body, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. Oh, we have so many relationships to Christ. Oh, my. So I am my beloved. And then look what else it says here. Back over in verse 3, it says, I am my beloved's. And then he says, and my beloved's mine. He's mine too. And not only am I his, but he's also mine. And just like I was given to him, he gave himself to me. Gave himself to me. And gave himself not only to me, gave himself for me, and he did it in eternity. So he's my beloved. My beloved. He says, O Lord, it's written in my heart, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is written in my heart. Not only my beloved, but my beloved is mine. And I tell you, he's only mine because he gave himself to me. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then my beloved, he's my beloved by gracious union. You know, they're talking about these union. I mentioned it a minute ago, our relationships to him. But there's a union between God's people and Christ that's closer than any union you'll have on this earth. Closer than any union. You know, he says we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And when you talk about a bride being the bride of Christ, that talks about a union of love. A union of love. And that's what you do. You know, you marry people you love. And we have this union with Christ, and it's the union of love as a bride. And then as the body of Christ, we have the union of life. Our life is just by Christ that we live and have our being. Christ is our union is with him. Our life, he's the vine, we're just the branches. And separated from Christ, we have no life. And we're one with him in all things. We was one with him when he lived. One with him when he died. One with him when he resurrected. One with him when he ascended. The scriptures tell us where you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. You can read in Ephesians 2 at your own leisure, but look how many times there says together with him, together with him, together with him, together with him. Everything he did, we did together with him. And not only is my beloved mine because he gave himself to me and for me, by a gracious union, but by His indwelling, by living in us, by living in us. Colossians 1:27 says this, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you. What's your hope of glory? Christ in me. You know, when David preaches or Marvin preaches or anybody else preaches here, you know what answers, you know, as Christ is preached from the Scriptures, Christ in you answers to Christ in the gospel. So when you're preaching and we're talking about Him, your heart answers back, because Christ in you answers back to Christ in the Scriptures. Christ in you responds to Christ from the gospel. Christ in you responds from the Word. And so if Christ is in you, then you respond to the same Christ that's in the Scriptures. You say, yep, yeah, that's right. I understand that. I get that. Oh, Christ in you and Christ formed in you. That spiritual union, that spiritual life that's in you. This is how come we know Christ is in us. You know why? It makes us look to Him. It makes us seek Him. Makes us seek Him. Oh, nothing else will make us seek Christ but Christ in us. What makes you desire Christ? What makes you desire Christ? What makes you seek Him? What makes you understand His Word? What makes you say Christ is my life? It's Christ in you. Christ in you. That's why people that don't understand this, they don't understand it. You know, they got to be doing something. Listen, Christ does it all. And Christ in you answers to Christ. And it makes you seek Him, makes you want Him, makes you desire Him, makes you need Him. Need Him. And oh, when Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know why we come to services like this? Because Christ is our life. Christ our life. It's not just going to church. It's not just going to church. And then I tell you what, not only is He my beloved's in by His indwelling, living in us, but He's ours personally. You remember when Thomas, he hadn't been there when Christ appeared to the 12. And Thomas told him, said, I ain't going to believe. I'm not going to believe He's risen from the dead. I'm not going to believe anything you fellas say until I can take my own hand and stick it in the riven side and put my fingers in those holes in His hands. Because I seen Him die. And I ain't going to believe. He no sooner said that than Christ said, reach hither, Thomas. If that's what it takes, you reach here, Thomas. Go ahead. And you know what Thomas did? He just fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Ain't that what we say, my Lord and my God? Mary, she went to the tomb on Sunday morning. She looked and looked and looked for Christ. He wasn't in the tomb anymore. She was walking around just weeping and weeping and weeping. And she turned around and she saw a man standing there. And she thought he was the gardener. And she said, sir, wherever you've laid Him, whatever you've done with His body, please take me and show me. I need to see it. I got to see it. And I'll take Him away. And I'll take care of it. I'll deal with Him. I'll take His body. And about that time, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Mary?
Amen.
She said, oh, Master, my Master, my Master. Oh, I'll tell you, when we're alone like that, He'll call us by name. Call us by name. Oh, all He is ours. All He did is ours. He is ours, personally. And I tell you, my beloved's mine. Not only are we His, but He's also ours. And He is always ours. Always ours. Never more at one time than another. Never more at one time than another. We feel like sometimes that you know, he's not present or something, but he's always ours. He's never more at one time than another. Oh, if you knew how I feel. He does.
Yeah,
he does. If you knew how sinful I was, he does. If he knew how burdened I was, he does. If he knew how weak I was, he does. He does. He does. You see, he doesn't come and go by our feelings. He doesn't come and go by our feelings. He doesn't come and go by our temperament. And ain't you thankful for that? What if he left you first time you popped off? You know, you got upset with somebody and started telling them off. And he said, well, I ain't have nothing to do with him. Until he gets straightened out. Ooh. There ain't that much straightening in the world. But he's always ours. He doesn't come and he doesn't go. Feelings come and feeling goes, and feelings are deceiving. Not else is worth believing but God's blessed word. Huh? He doesn't come and go by our feelings and by our temperaments. I was talking to a fellow the other day, Wayne Boyd. And, you know, sometimes, and David will tell you this, and Jonathan and other ones that preach here, sometimes you come into the service to preach, and you're just as lifeless and as cold, and you feel as empty. It's the most awful thing in the world. And you pray for the congregation, said, Lord, have mercy on this people today. Because they've got to deal with me this morning. And you're just as lifeless and as dead. Then you get up and the Lord blesses you. And you preach. And then just quick as you get done, you're just like you was before you got in the pulpit. That he never changes. Never changes. Oh my. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? I'll be with you all the way to the end. The end of this life is going to be with us. And then we'll see him face to face. He said in Hebrews 13 and 5, there's five negatives there. And it says this, I will never, no never, no never, no never, never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
Five times he tells us in one verse, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. If he was ever going to forsake somebody, he'd have forsook me years and years ago. Oh, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. He is my beloved. This is faith. I am his. I am his. This is faith working by love. I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine. What a way to describe us. My beloved is mine. I am my beloved's. Thank you all so much. David, thank you again for having me. Love you all. I appreciate you. Oh, you listen so good. So good. Thank you.